It enters through an area called the neuromuscular junction, an interface between the cells of your nervous system and muscles. First, it travels through a long nerve, spanning all the way from the infected muscle to your spine. From there, over the course of several weeks, it makes its way up the spine and to your brain. At this point, the symptoms begin. First, the effects are mild. Flu-like symptoms may appear. Fatigue, nausea, increased heart rate. Then, the tides take a turn for the worse. It begins to hijack the neural circuitry of the host, and the body begins to act in favor of it. An intense fear of water, hydrophobia, consumes the infected. Just the sight of water can trigger painful throat contractions. An unquenchable thirst ensues as the host's personality appears to change. Many become extremely aggressive or completely paralyzed. In as little as 2 days after symptoms start, the host will die.
The story you've just heard is not fictional, and the virus responsible is, unfortunately, very real. Rabies is a tiny bullet-shaped pathogen that is most commonly spread through the bite of an infected animal. It contributes to around 60,000 deaths per year, a staggering figure, though still a significant underestimate of the actual death toll. It is a neurotropic virus, that is, it works by invading the nervous system. As a result, it can cause our neural circuitry to malfunction, inducing cognitive and behavioral changes. As you just heard, this can create a slow, painful death for those afflicted by the disease. However, the very dysfunction the virus creates can also be used to our advantage. First, imagine a circuit breaker. The little box in your home with many labeled switches, each of which corresponds to a specific device. The hallway light, the dishwasher, the downstairs heat. It is a small control panel for an electrical circuit that runs through a housing unit and powers your appliances. In other words, by flicking a switch, you can physically interrupt the flow of electricity, severing the connection between one outlet and the body of the circuit. As a result, the disconnected appliance no longer works. Human brains are similarly composed of many complex circuits. Current flows through tiny tube-like bodies called axons, which can trigger the release of particles that further propagate the flow of current in other cells. Essentially, axons serve as biological wires. Severing those axons would terminate the connections they form, or in other words, break the circuit. Although we cannot disrupt our neural circuitry by flicking a switch, we do have innate biological circuit breakers. For example, in everyday life, our brains experience minor bumps and injuries that cause loss of tissues, cells, and more specifically, axons. A part of managing and disposing of damaged tissue involves programmed axonal degeneration. By removing damaged wires, or axons, the body can prevent other connected circuits from malfunctioning. Thus, injury-induced axonal degeneration is present as a necessary part of our existence and is well regulated by a variety of mechanisms. However, in rabies, these regulatory mechanisms become dysfunctional. In fact, they become hyperfunctional. A process that normally degrades damaged axons spirals out of control, and widespread degeneration plagues the brain. In essence, our biological circuit breaker trips. Current can no longer flow between cells because the very wires that connect them are broken. Contrary to a standard circuit breaker, however, your biological wires, or axons, aren't just temporarily disconnected. They are physically destroyed. The extreme nature of the body's reaction reveals the severity of the virus. In fact, rabies has recently been used as a drug delivery system in brain cancer patients, all due to its potent ability to spread throughout the central nervous system. It also turns out that rabies-mediated nerve degeneration is not unlike the damage observed in other diseases, including Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, motor neuron disease, glaucoma, and others. Why is this the case? Well, one theory is that the very process that causes axonal degeneration, or the process that trips neuronal circuits, could be activated by the same genetic code. Many precise aspects of these hypothetical mechanisms remain unknown. However, a growing body of research on neurodegeneration is emerging.
Research into nerve degeneration first started with its discovery in 1850 by Augustus Fulney Waller. But back then, not much could be found out about it other than its basic characteristics. It was thought that the degeneration was a passive process, simply the rotting of tissue due to a lack of connection to a cell body, like a leaf that's been plucked from a tree. But the reality is much more complex. The advance of technology in modern times has allowed us to find out much more about the true workings of the axon death process. In 2012, Jeanette Astrolot and her team from the University of Massachusetts Medical School discovered a protein called SARM1 that facilitates axonal degeneration. They discovered that SARM1 participates in a type of axon death program, and that the program fails in its absence, leaving axons that don't degenerate properly in response to damage. Essentially, their methods involved inactivating SARM1's function in fruit flies, and cutting their axons in half. They found that flies without functional SARM1 failed to degenerate their axons, despite the fact that they were severed. These findings showed that axons are actively using methods to self-destruct after injury, and that axonal degeneration is not simply a passive rotting of nerve tissue. They also found that the axon death process is very similar between Drosophila and rodents, which means that research on model organisms might effectively apply to higher mammals like humans. Even though it's not a passive process, one might expect such a thing as degeneration to occur as a result of some loss of biological function. But oddly, this process represents a gain of function. It's a genetic tool that serves a purpose in the maintenance of a healthy brain. And, as the Astrolot study showed, this function can be experimentally removed to help us research more about axonal degeneration and the different cases in which it's necessary. The discovery of SARM1 has been an incredibly useful tool in this pursuit. More recently, in 2020, Vinod Sundaramurthy and six other researchers from the CSIRO Australian Animal Health Laboratory made some exciting discoveries about SARM1 and how it relates to rabies. The general question the researchers asked was how, during rabies infections, axons and dendrites become damaged, even though the neuron cell bodies they are attached to remain intact. They decided to piggyback off of previous research and targeted known genetic players involved in axonal degeneration, including SARM1. Specifically, they looked at the effects of deleting the SARM1 gene in neurons. The results? They found that deletion of the gene significantly delays axon death. In other words, they concluded that SARM1 must play a role in rabies-induced degeneration, and that SARM1 is one of the mystery biological components that trips neuronal circuits. They also clarified findings of past research and found a possible reason for why this degeneration response happens. Remember, rabies needs axons in order to travel, so it turns out when the axons degenerate, they effectively cut off the spread of the rabies virus. So the SARM-1-mediated degeneration of the axons acts as a defense mechanism as the brain seeks to limit the spread of rabies along with the damage it may cause. Destroying axons on a massive scale might reduce the spread of rabies, but it comes at a cost. As mentioned previously, axons are like the biological wires in the circuitry that is our brain. When wires start deteriorating, the circuitry stops working. The overactivation of SARM-1 caused by rabies deteriorates the circuitry of the brain and results in serious consequences for brain function. The researchers discuss how degenerative axons are mainly observed in the paralytic form of rabies, the longer-lasting one that causes weakness and paralysis, as opposed to the furious form, the one that causes aggression and hyperactivity and typically progresses quicker. This fact supports their findings and indicates that patients with paralytic rabies might experience higher levels of axonal degeneration in order to slow the spread of the virus. Conversely, the furious form of rabies might involve inactivated or delayed SARM-1-mediated axon death, tragically resulting in the virus traveling unobstructed to the brain and causing unprecedented damage.
The cognitive and behavioral changes that arise in response to rabies widespread damage are still not fully understood. Additionally, scientists have not completely mapped out the mechanisms that activate SARM-1's axonal destruction pathway. That said, work done by many researchers, including Osterloh and Sundaramurthy's teams, has brought us closer to the answers. If SARM-1 research continues, we may learn of potential ways to treat neurodegenerative diseases. In fact, some scientists are already considering SARM-1 as a potential therapeutic target. Perhaps we will discover how to treat rabies as well, even after it has reached the brain, at which point it is almost always untreatable. Unfortunately, these answers couldn't come soon enough. The 60,000 deaths per year caused by rabies is staggering and is largely due to unequal access to public health resources. Rabies vaccines have been around for over 100 years, and there are also good preventative treatment options available after exposure if infection is caught early enough. But people in many countries simply don't have access to this kind of care. Additionally, managing the spread of the virus in animals is very difficult without persistent and widespread animal vaccination efforts. Clearly, there are many difficulties in treating this public health risk, but understanding more about rabies and why it affects the brain the way it does might help us combat it. The road to functionally eradicating rabies is a long one, but research such as this is a big step in the right direction. And every step is one that counts.